Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's the 6th of April, 2015. I'm reading an article here. It was published this morning. And it was the title caught my eye because I know what's really happening. And I think a lot of us are very, very aware of what's happening, but I'd never heard it. And I don't think I'd ever heard it quite put this way. And I know that, okay, I can't remember if it's like one guy here or not, but, oh, yeah, the guy who wrote the article's name is Frank Turek, and he wrote an interesting book, and the title of the book is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And it's an interesting, that's an interesting concept, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, because to believe that there is no creator means everything that is came from nothing. So that nothing created nothing. That's a pretty tall order. Well, he wrote an article published this morning, and the title of it was Sex is a New Religion. And everything that's happening across the country now, I took what I got to this article by taking the poll about what's happened recently in Indiana and Arkansas, and it's just I don't know, it's really sad because those were conservative Republican governors to a sexual agenda. Let's just say it the way it is. You can say homosexual, and there's a lot of fights that want to happen. So just forget about that. Forget about hetero or homo or any of that kind of, you know, neutral. It's a sexual agenda. It doesn't have to do with your sex, in other words, male or female, any of those kind of questions. It has to do with the practice of sexual contact. And I have always, and I think most people have always wondered why there was ever a discrimination because of the gender of a person. If you can do the job, then you should be able to, you know, get the job. It's been proven out, and I don't think in my lifetime, I think I will die before I ever see it, there will ever be a Navy SEAL that's female. Not because there aren't some tough women out there that are you know, qualified. They're great shooters, great swimmers, you know, great combatants and all that. It's just not going to happen. The men that attempt to become Navy SEALs, the bell ringers are a tremendous amount, meaning they ring out, they say, I'm done, I can't take the training, and they leave. So they ring a bell, put their helmet down, and out they go. Let me tell you another group. There's pararescue, the PJs in the Air Force. They've sometimes had classes where out of 80, 20 have graduated. They've actually had out of 80, zero. Zero graduate. They graduate zero out of that class. So it's not because it's a male-dominated thing. It's just a very, very difficult thing. Now, I'm not saying that women haven't tried to get into some special forces. In fact, we've had that recently. And we've had, again, some really interesting situations. But I have my own experience with that. In not special forces, but in the Air Force, when they started bringing women onto the flight line and actually working as mechanics and plumbers and electricians and doing flight operations or doing pre-flight and stuff on the flight line, and it was sad because they weren't taking people necessarily women that knew had a mechanical aptitude. They were just putting women into those positions. We had one woman come onto our squadron and I'm telling you, she did not know which way to turn a screwdriver to loosen and or tighten a screw. And it was sad because they were trying to fill slots. And when you see a situation where there's slots trying to be filled, and that was many years ago, that was 40-something years ago, so it was real, infantile at that point. And I know there's a lot of women doing a lot of great jobs now. I'm not saying that. But it shouldn't be just to fill a slot. It should be someone that's qualified and wants to be there. This sex is a new religion thing, as I started reading, and this is the one that got me in the article. This is a quote from his article, and I think it's, okay. Governors in Indiana and Arkansas and several other states see the need for protecting religious liberty for a very good reason. It's under attack. The scales have tipped decidedly against the free exercise of traditional religion, against the right of Christians, Muslims, Jews, and anyone else who can't celebrate the orthodoxy of the new religion. Okay, here's the deal. Let's forget about tolerance for a minute. This whole thing goes beyond tolerance, he says. Now, if you don't agree to celebrate same-sex marriage, believers in the religion of sex will commence an inquisition, and without a trial, they will punish you for heresy. That's why this legislation is necessary. Florence, bakers, photographers, real estate agents, internet CEOs, and speakers like myself have all discovered personally that the people who say they are fighting for tolerance are often the most intolerant. In the name of inclusion and diversity, those of us who have a diverse view are being excluded, even fired and fined because we don't violate our beliefs to satisfy the overbearing clergy of the religion of sex. Now, it's not just from shooting from the hip and trying to cover a big broad base. Listen to his candy as he goes on. He said, a few years ago, Cisco and Bank of America fired me as a training consultant because I had conservative beliefs about sex and marriage, even though my beliefs were never expressed on the job. When a homosexual manager at Cisco found out on the internet that I had authored a book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone, which is giving you evidence that maintaining the natural definition of marriage would be the best for society, he couldn't tolerate me, and he demanded that I be fired. A human resources executive canned me within hours without ever speaking to me. This happened despite the fact that the leadership team-building programs I led always received high marks, even from that same homosexual manager. Now, that's an absolute case that cannot be denied. It happened, and it was specifically because of his non-tolerance. The ones that are calling people to be tolerant, they themselves being non-tolerant. It's an interesting article, and it's really thought-provoking. So as I was looking at that, and it started out with the guys on the courthouse in front of the, and I'm not even sure if it was Arkansas or anywhere, but a gay man, at least it's supposed to be, with a rainbow shirt, with a rainbow flag, flying it out in front of the Capitol building. And then as I thought about flags, this other article was right behind that one, of my state, Washington State, and Governor Jay Inslee, who is a rabidly practicing homosexual, flew the communist China flag in between American flag and the Washington State flag on the flagpole at the Capitol building. And there was a group of men, that was Sunday, and I believe it was this morning, a group of men, might have been some gals, but I didn't see any gals. Four or five guys were demanding to be removed. And what's cool is they brought some guy out. He's probably a public works guy. And they took the flag down. And the guy that was supervising it was a Washington State Patrol. Big, strong Washington State Patrol. And I thought, that is so cool to see a police officer overseeing the removal of that flag. And I thought, I wonder if that state trooper is a veteran. To see that communist Chinese flag flying above the Capitol in the state of Washington, it's repulsive. I mean, anybody that knows anything about military knows what that means. And it was supposed to be that Governor Jay Inslee was honoring the ambassador that came from China. And I can't pronounce his name. That's what you get when you get some clown like that that doesn't know anything about protocol, doesn't know anything about flag protocol or military protocol. You know, when you conquer something, the flag of Iwo Jima should actually tell you enough. You put your flag on it. The only flag flying on the moon is the American flag. I mean, get a little bit of a grip. You don't even have to be a military aficionado or even a certain, you know, even a veteran to know that there's something probably not okay about flying the communist Chinese flag above the Capitol building in the state of Washington, or any state for that matter. There's, in all reality, what that is just a lazy governor. A lazy governor. He should have known that. He should have looked that up. He should have already been aware of that. And wouldn't have bit him. You bit him. Today's the 6th. I said that already a little bit ago. Let's see what the Proverbs have to say for some wisdom. You know, because I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people in positions of authority in this country right now that seem to have zero wisdom. And they're not young kids. A lot of times we associate wisdom with age. They're not youngsters. These guys and gals are, you know, 40, 50, 60s, 70s, and they are so unwise. They need to spend a little time in the Word. Let's see what chapter 6 of Proverbs says today. My son, if you become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you've been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Do not give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways, and be wise. Which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come on like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually, who spreads strife. Therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken and there will be no healing. There are 6 things which the Lord hates, yes, 7 which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So, to keep from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals, and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself if he's hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give him many gifts. it's interesting to look at that. And last time I preached, this was a long time ago, I preached through the book of Proverbs back in, oh my goodness, that is a long time ago. Huh. 1982. How many years ago is that, Marie? You can do the math. 23 years? 23 years ago. Wow, I didn't even think about that. That's weird. Huh. Well, I'm reading it to you guys now, and not necessarily preaching, but doing a little teaching, and listen to that. Tremendous amount of verses about adultery. Always the parallel of what Israel would do consistently. Good king, bad king, good king, bad king. Love their country, hate their country, love their country, hate their country. I'm not sure what state they're in right now, but I'm sure they're in one of those vacillated states. But if you apply this just personally to your life, if you have someone that deals with that situation, it never goes away. You can learn to live with it. You can learn to move on with life and function and be very functional and have joy and everything in the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to be bought off. It's not, you're not going to be given a gift and then forget about what happened. And quite honestly, the punishment for adultery was death to both parties. And so that's a tough situation. I mean, people who have been involved in adultery should be very thankful for the cross of Christ, because had it not been for the cross of Christ and they'd be living in a under Jewish law, they would have the aspect of being murdered, killed for their transgression. So, I mean, that's not that. I mean, it can go to all kinds of areas, but I'm saying adultery does things that you can't believe. It does things to both parties and to both families. And a guy who would move in and do something like that and be involved with someone else's wife is the kind of person that isn't worth spending any time on or any time with. Here's the interesting part of it. Christ still died for him. Jesus didn't die for specific people and say, okay, only these people will my blood cover. He died once for all. Every single human being that ever was or ever will be can be and is effectively covered by the blood of Christ. The rejection of that covering by denying Jesus as a Savior and your Lord gains you entrance into hell, and many are those who find that entrance. Fewer are those who find the entrance to heaven, which is Jesus. He's the door. I was just speaking yesterday about the doorway, because in Passover, not bunnies and eggs and chocolates and, you know, that kind of stuff, but in specifics, what it's all about that we just celebrated was the Passover. Jesus became our Passover lamb. Everyone who receives his gift that was given, which is the shedding of his blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. In the Passover, way back, and this is way back, you've got to go way back into Genesis, you're going to see how there was blood put on the doorpost on either side and over above the top. And that's the doorway to that home, and anyone in that home would be spared death when the angel of death came by, and many people died. But anyone in a home that was protected by the blood was good. Now, here's the deal. When Jesus died, he shed his blood right on the ground in Israel, in Jerusalem. I mean, in the Holy Land, he shed his blood on the ground. And it has long been traditionally believed and thought of as Jerusalem being the doorway to heaven. Quite honestly, it's a good thought. But Jesus' blood hit that doorway. So you go through Jesus, and that's the entrance into heaven. So Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. And he is the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So if you go through Jesus, through his blood, through his death, burial, and resurrection, accept that, receive that, and walk it out, you're good to go. Now, you may have been one that is involved in sluggardness, in laziness. You may have signed all kinds of contracts in all kinds of way, and basically signed your life over to the company store, okay? And that's sad, but you may have really wanted to help someone, so you co-sign 50 loans. You find yourself co-signing so many loans that you could never pay any of them back, let alone all of them back. So you may be involved in all of that, and it does not, and is an adulterer. You might just be a rotten adulterer. Here's the deal. It does not exclude you from heaven because of your past. Your future is secure in Christ. Now, here's what happens. When you receive Jesus, when you accept his gift, you're a new creature. Behold, all things are new. So you should be changing your lifestyle, not to make sure you're saved, or not to become saved, or to become a Christian, but as a result of that. As a result of that. There's another scripture that would just to speak to that is, well, we're saved by grace, not by works, that any man should boast, but we are saved to do good works. As a result of our salvation, we can do these things. It's because God has changed us, God has saved us, God has healed us, he's transforming us by the renewing of our minds. We're seeing things differently, we're doing things differently. And that we need to know that. As we see what's going on in our world, all around us, in various ways, I'm shocked. I really am. I mean, it's the flag flying above our Capitol building the other day is insane. Can you imagine? Let me just take you back for a minute. Can you imagine flying the Nazi flag above the capital of a state in 1939 or 1940? Now, it's a little bit different because at that point we didn't really know that much generally what the Nazis had done as a political party. But let's just put it realistically. We have already fought the Chinese communists. We have fought them. They were filtered in. High-ranking officers and rank and file into Vietnam. Listen, we fought them. They're still communists. They still want to annihilate us. So it would be like flying a Nazi flag in 1943 above the Capitol building of a state in this country. Can you imagine that even happening? Can you even envision that, a possibility of that happening? No. That's where we are now. And it's not young kids that are trying to be cool and be skinheads. We're talking the governor of this state. I don't know how old he is, but I'm guessing he's probably somewhere between 50 and 70. I don't know exactly where he is, but he's somewhere in there. He knows. He's in my age group. He understands. He knew exactly what he did. And it's just like you woke up and your name should be Rip Van Winkle because you got no clue. How did this even happen? How did this happen? Wisdom that is unbelievable. Here's what's really strange. Tomorrow we're going to be on the 7th. All right? And maybe this is one reason why I haven't preached this book in a while, but I mean, it's 23 years, pretty heavy. Here's the deal. Tomorrow, oh my, we'll be talking about the harlot. Well, we just talked about adultery, then it talks about the harlot. We've already talked about that once, and if you go back over the last few days, it talks about lust. Yeah, bad company. Watch yourself. Better get wisdom and avoid the adulterous. It's all throughout, at least these first six chapters so far, about that. Why is that so heavy? Well, because it's a pretty big deal, and it's fairly accepted now. I mean, we literally have websites that are advertising on television how to hook up with an adulterous affair. And actually, on regular time, I mean, it's not like at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about 7 o'clock at night, how to hook up with an adulterous affair. There's actually a website that you can go and get that little secret affair when you're married with somebody else that's married. And I mean, you think Sodom and Gomorrah was a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal, all right. But I think we need to take a look around. The other thing I mentioned the other day is just in our gross national product, you think about if there's something that was actually making money transfer from one person to another in this country, and it was to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars, if it was gone today, if that was gone, and those billions and billions of dollars were not being spent. That might have some kind of an effect. Well, those billions and billions of dollars are being made and spent on pornography. And I read an article about photography the other day. This is amazing if you think about it. Photography the other day. 1839 is when the first photographs were produced. And you could actually have a photograph and have a, in your hand a photograph. Now, and I don't know when the phone was, but whenever the phone was invented, let's say it was 1890. Well, we didn't have cell phones until 1973. And we were technologically moving along. Same with ovens and microwaves. 1839 for photography, it was only 11 years later that pornography. They saw a way to make money. So we're talking about something from 1850. We're not talking about something that started 20 years ago or 11 years ago or 9 years ago or 20 or 40 years ago. We're talking something that started in 1850, right off the bat. And it'd be nice if it was gone. It'd be nice if it was eliminated, and I hope it does get eliminated. I know one thing, it's eliminated when you're in heaven. But you would be trying to kill, a sacred cow. It's as pathetic. That's why there's such a huge amount of emphasis on that kind of sin throughout the scriptures, because it's prevalent in our hearts, and that's just sad. Spend some time in the Word. I hope you just go back and pick up the third, fourth, and fifth, and it'll bring you up to today, and then we can start in with chapter 7 tomorrow. You guys have a wonderful day. Be blessed. Don't let them fly any weird communist flags above your buildings in your states. If you see it, come against it and get them brought down, okay? And lift up the banner of Jesus. Lift up the banner of Jesus. Lift it high. Love you guys. See you tomorrow.